Joining us in studio, Detective Eric Edson from the Sheboygan Police Department joins us usually a couple of times a month, getting us on top of scams and fraud that's impacting our area. Eric, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Kelly. I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. You're awfully busy these days, aren't you?
Awfully busy. Yeah, no shortage of work, that's for sure.
Yeah, so where do you want to start this morning? I guess there's a home delivery scam that's going on?
Yeah, I listened earlier that Your Money Now, they mentioned that this year alone, or in 2020, there was $4.2 billion lost by consumers to fraud. And the 3 years previous were like $7.6 billion total, so almost doubling of how much is lost. And the little piece said that it's because people are tricked into believing that the person that's contacting them is someone that they're not, and that they give up some kind of information, and that's how people are defrauded. And that kind of leads into what this example is. It's an example of getting a message that you think is going to be legitimate, and then you're tricked into giving up personal information where you're going to lose money. So what's been happening is people will get a text message typically from what appears to be a reputable delivery service, so like think UPS, FedEx, something like that.
Sure.
And the message tells them that the carrier attempted to deliver a package, but no one was home, and they need to reschedule a delivery of this package. So the person, if they fall for it, will click on the link, and it looks like a legitimate link in the text message, and it brings them to a very realistic-looking website. If you really scrutinize the URL, the web address, you might be able to tell that it's not legitimate. But scammers are getting a lot more sophisticated, where they're starting to realize that some of the grammatical errors and things like that we used to point people to say, hey, this is clearly fake, they're cleaning those up a lot. And they're basically just counterfeiting what the legitimate page looks like and putting those items on this fake page to really trick people into thinking this is legitimate. So you click on the link, you're directed to this page, and it tells you that you have to pay a fee, like usually a $1 or $3, something like that, low-level fee to re-deliver this package. And then they start asking you for information, which should be a clue. Like, this company already has your package with your name and address. They shouldn't need to verify it. But so they ask you for your name and stuff, and then they're going to ask you for a credit card to pay for the re-delivery fee. So now they're going to have your credit card number, expiration, security code, all that kind of stuff. And some of them are even going so far as to, when you enter that, another page will pop up. Typically, it'll say like verified by Visa or one of these things, where they're saying to you, hey, we want to protect you from fraud. We need to make sure you are who you say you are. So what is your social security number? What is your birth date? What is your mother's maiden name? Things like that, where they're trying to trick you into thinking that, you know, they're protecting you from fraud and it's legitimate. Well, of course, once you enter that information, now the scammer has all of that they can. And sometimes they won't even process that small fee. Sometimes they just use this ruse to get that information, and then they'll just redirect you to a page once you submit it, either to a page that says, congratulations, you've successfully rescheduled your delivery, it'll be there such and such a date, or they might redirect you to that company's legitimate website, so you think that it's legitimate, but it's always going to be the scam. So a couple things to consider. Make sure you check all the URLs carefully. The best policy that we've talked about before is either to just open your browser and type in the web address yourself. Maybe if it's something that you use a lot, have it bookmarked. So if you're a business or something that uses UPS or FedEx a lot, just have it bookmarked that you know that's a legitimate thing. And you should be able to navigate if there is a package that needs to be redelivered. You should be able to find it that way.
Right. But the other part of that, too, is, correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm not home, in most cases I'm not, they just leave it at your door.
That's usually the case, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, they'll, if it's something of high value that they need a signature or something like that, they'll want a rescheduled delivery. But typically you shouldn't have to pay for that.
Right.
Usually that's, you know, that's on them that they just redeliver. It's just a cost of doing business. But that's why sometimes these scammers won't even, you know, charge you that delivery fee. They just want your information.
Right.
And there's variations of the scam too. It's, you know, it's basically just you missed a package and we need some information to confirm that we're delivering it to the right place or whatever it is. So,
Be careful.
Be careful,
but,
yeah.
But you were going through some of the ways to avoid this, so I didn't mean to sidetrack
you. No, that's good. You know, we've talked about this over and over again, but don't ever, ever, ever click on links in a text message or email. even if it looks like it might be legitimate, just go to that website or call the number that you know is the number. If it's related to maybe like a credit card, look on the back of your credit card, call that number. Don't be tricked into calling the number that's included in the text message or right. the email or clicking on a link. That's where most people run afoul is, you know, they're busy during their day, they're running around, all of a sudden they get this message that implies some sort of immediacy that, oh, I got to take care of this, and they just, for convenience, click on that link and click through, and that's where most people run into trouble. So, and then the last thing is make sure that you're reviewing your bank statements and credit card statements for fraudulent charges that shouldn't be there. But also look for deposits that shouldn't be there. Sometimes the scammers, once they have your bank information, will use you as an intermediary to run laundered money, so to speak, through your account. And you could be held responsible for that, even if you didn't have any part of that or didn't know about it. So it's always a good policy to make sure that you're checking your bank statements for that kind of suspicious activity.
Good advice. What else you got for us, Eric?
So data hacks are everywhere. Almost every day you hear about some kind of data hack going on right now. It could involve individuals, businesses, government agencies. Hospitals have been the victim of data hacks, public utilities, all that kind of stuff. And people sometimes wonder, well, how do they gain access to these systems? And typically the weakest link is the employee's social media account, whether it's Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. That's usually where the weakest link is. We're a very social society. We're social creatures as human beings. We want to be in contact with people. Especially during the pandemic, people weren't able to interact, so they used social media to connect with other people and probably shared way too much information, at least from a law enforcement and prevention standpoint.
Okay.
I understand that the point of these sites is to put information, personal information on it, but you really have to be careful. So
yeah.
When people say, you know, what can I do to kind of prevent these kind of things, it really comes down to privacy, making sure that your social media account is private, that only trusted friends, family members can see your information. And even then, just be careful what you're posting.
Right.
Hackers, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal that said that a hacker can find everything they need to know about you to break into your life within 30 minutes of scanning your social media posts. And the way they do that is they employ automated, automation tools that will quickly scan all of your posts, all of your information, all that kind of stuff, to basically build a dossier about you. So the way to prevent that is really limit the amount of public information, or personal information that you're posting. And it may seem like, again, counterintuitive to what the purpose of a Facebook account is, but really you should not be posting travel plans. You shouldn't be posting a lot of information about your personal interests, details about family members, birthdays, pet names. And the reason for this is a lot of that information is typically the answers to our security questions.
Right.
When you go online and you set up an account, you know, what is your dog's name? What is your grandfather's name? All that kind of stuff. That's where was your favorite trip? Where did you get married? All those things we typically use for convenience for our security questions, and all that information a lot of times is on social media accounts.
Right.
So again, make sure that it's set up, your privacy settings are set up. Know the social media platform that you're using, whether it's LinkedIn or Facebook, whatever, know what their privacy settings are and make sure you go into there and set them so that only the right people are seeing that information.
Makes sense.
Be very careful when responding to friend requests or requests for people to follow you. A lot of the pages out there are counterfeit. The same way that someone can counterfeit the delivery service website that we just talked about, people can recreate Facebook accounts. They can just basically copy them and make it seem like, you know, Kelly Meyer is trying to friend request me, and it's not you at all. It's just someone that's pretending to be you.
Right.
I think in 2020, the latest numbers, there's about 3 billion Facebook users worldwide. And 190 million of people are in the United States. So think about how many people that is. And of that, anywhere from 10 to 15% of those accounts are fake accounts. Facebook just removed this last quarter. They removed about a billion fake profiles from their website. So on any given day, you know, probably about anywhere from 10 to maybe 12% of the Facebook profiles are fake. So you can't trust, you know, what you see on Facebook. And then the last bit of advice is to use a totally separate email address for your social media accounts. So you can have multiple Gmail accounts or Yahoo accounts, whatever service you use. And the reason for that is if they do get into that, that you're not compromising the email address that you might use for your other personal business, like your banking, your credit cards, things like that, that might, if they were able to hack into that, contain sensitive information that they'd be able to access. Just use a totally separate, usually like a Gmail or something like that account for those social media accounts. That way you kind of limit your exposure a little bit.
All right. Good stuff as usual, Eric. Never a shortage of stuff to talk about, is there?
No, it really comes down to just taking certain steps to protect yourself, and it's inconvenient, and it's, like I said, sometimes counterintuitive to what those accounts are for.
Sure.
But really, the prevention starts with you, and, yeah. And the best way to avoid that hassle and avoid losing your money is to take those initial steps and very simple steps to protect your information.
Terrific. Eric Edson, Detective Eric Edson with the Sheboygan Police Department with us here on WHBL. Eric, thanks for coming in. We'll see you in a few weeks.
You bet. Thanks, Kelly.
All right.